2 together. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2 today, though, and I'd ask you to open up and stand for the reading of God's Word, if you will. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. The Scripture says this, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Listen, I'm going to echo and just kind of go off of what Josie had to say. It's Christmas week. This is an incredible time. I love this time of the year, especially this last week here as we lead up to the celebration. That's part of what I love. I love the celebrations. I love the gifts. I love the feast. I love getting together with people. You think the last couple of weeks have been stressful? This week will become even more stressful, aren't it? Some of your blood pressure just ran up real quick. But listen, what I want to make sure that you catch is that all of those things that we love, all of those things that are exciting, all of those little pictures, they're all pointing us to a greater feast and a greater celebration. You realize that, I hope. And what ends up happening, though, is that gets lost oftentimes in translation. Not only does it get lost in translation, it's like just evolved. But you realize there was a real person named Saint Nick, don't you? Saint Nicholas, there was a real person. He was the bishop of the church of Myra in what is today southwest Turkey. He loved the Lord God, loved Jesus. He was at the Council of Nicaea fighting for the full divinity and the full humanity of God, of Jesus Christ. He came from a very wealthy Christian family. Believers in Jesus, surrendered their life. They had lots of money. They were not the most generous sort, but when Nicholas became a follower of Christ, he became a very generous person. In fact, Nicholas today is known as Saint Nicholas, not because he was martyred for his faith, but because he was so generous, so generous. There is a story about him that he found out a family in his community who were a father, a mother who had three daughters. They did not have money to be able to give a dowry for their children, for these daughters to be wed. Therefore, they were destined to lives of poverty or, at worst, sold into prostitution so that they might have money to live. Saint Nicholas heard about this, and he took three bags of gold coins, and in the middle of the night, he dropped them in the house of those girls so that they might have a dowry so that they could be married. A little tidbit, if you go to Aldi's, Trader Joe's, you may see it even in other grocery stores, little red bags of gold coins, that's where that comes from. Little chocolate gold coins wrapped, that's where that comes from. It's from St. Nicholas. You know, it's amazing how the person that at that point that we use as an identity for where Christmas and gift giving kind of comes from, how it's evolved to a big old man with a white beard and a red suit that has minion elves that make gifts and he flies around with reindeer. I mean, it's like it's evolved from giving gifts and generosity. In fact, I think you could even say about that just a little bit about how people treat Christ. You know, the sinless Son of God who was born of a virgin, born in a stable in Bethlehem, who grew, and we're going to talk about this today, who grew so that he could one day give his life so that we might have a right relationship with God for all who come and surrender to him. Today, he's just like our little personal guru in many respects. People treat him as if he's a genie in a body, a genie in a bottle. You just rub him. I need help. I think there's a song out today that talks about, I only talk to God when I need something. This isn't about that. You need to realize this. Jesus is not the one that you hear about that he's for your personal health. He's for your personal wealth. And if you sow a seed, he's going to meet all your needs. That's not the Jesus that the scripture speaks of. And here we are at the beginning of this week going, how did he get here? How did he get here? I want to remind us. I want to take us back for just a few moments. I want us to be able to look at really at Paul's birth narrative, if you will, because what I read just a moment ago is how Paul writes about the birth of Christ. And I want us this week, when everything's pulling at us. All those things I talked about, I love. In fact, if this sermon is for nobody else, it's for me. And it takes me 4 times to preach it to bring it into my head. I'm hopeful that maybe you won't lose sight that this week isn't just Christmas week. This week is about Jesus. It's about him. It's about a baby being born. Let me ask you this to start out. If on the 25th of this month, this coming week, if there were no trees, no gifts, no feasts, would it still be Christmas for you? It should be. It should be. You see, because what ends up happening is we get wrapped up, and if you're not careful, you'll pass that to your children. We get so wrapped up, and all of those things are good. Listen, bring me the gifts, bring me the cards. I love the feast. I love all those things. I love the gifts wrapped. I love all those things. But I need you to know, that's not what this week and that day is about. It's about Christ and what he's done on our and the gift that he's given to us. Today, we're going to talk for just a few moments about the person of Christmas, and the purpose of Christmas. The person of Christmas and the purpose of Christmas. Look with me again at this passage. Go back with me and look at this passage. I'm going to reread it. I'm going to break it up, though. If this is your first week with us, go back and catch up. We've been talking about how we got to the birth of Christ. We talked about the problem, how sin came into the world. We talked about the promise that God said, I'm going to send one who's going to crush the head of the serpent. That we talked about last week, the prophets, remember in Isaiah, who proclaimed the promise is still coming. Hang on, the promise is still coming. Well, today I want us to look at that person. I want us to look at it. Here we are in verses 5-8. Paul's writing, and he says this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Will you circle emptied himself, highlight it, whatever you do. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As I said a moment ago, this right here is essentially Paul's birth story. Not his birth story of himself, but of Jesus Christ who came. What we know of this has become known as the description, the incarnation of Christ. That word incarnation is a Latin word, and it refers even back over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 14. If you've got your Bibles, look at John chapter 1. In fact, you may not be able to turn to all these. I want you to write them down. We're going to look at a lot of passages today. In John chapter 1 verse 14, John writes about the birth of Christ, and he says this, and the Word, talking about Jesus, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he has seen his glory, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. This word incarnation in Latin means it's incarne, it's in the flesh. That's what this means. What this description back in Philippians chapter 2, John chapter 1, it is about the God himself taking on the form of man, his son, stepping into the earth, putting on flesh and bone, the Son of God, being born. This is what the incarnation is all about. We sang this just a few moments ago, that he was truly man and truly God. True God, true man, who came to earth. How did he do this? I wish I could tell you exactly how he did it. But what we know is the scripture teaches that he had two natures. He had a divine nature and he had a human nature. And they were one in Christ. They were one, neither deluded. You may go, huh? Truly God, truly man. This word emptied here, I want to draw it back to you in verse 7. When it says emptied, what this does not mean is that it lessened his divinity. I want to make sure that you hear me this. He did not lessen his divinity. What the scripture means by emptied is that he became less by taking on us, taking on the form of man. He added to himself. He limited himself in his divinity, never losing it. Let me give you an example. Maybe you've watched in days past, be on reruns today, an old show called Undercover Boss. Anybody remember Undercover Boss? The boss who owns the company, who decides that he's going to try and infiltrate his company so that he can see what the employees are like, what's happening, what's going on, and get a true picture. Now, with not any type of meaning, because listen, that illustration is not even close to what happened here, but it is the same type of process that royalty, divinity, the king of the earth, the sinless son of God who came to earth, he not emptied himself of his divinity, he took on humanity. He took that on so that he might be able to come to identify with his people. So because technically, there was no one who could save us, his people, from sin. None of us could do that. Do you realize for us to be saved from sin, for sin to be paid for, it would take a sinless sacrifice. I can't even pay for my own sin. I couldn't pay for yours. It would take someone who was sinless. This is what it means when he didn't count equality with God, something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. And this has been the plan of God from before time. And I want you to hear this. Jesus volunteered to sign up. I'm in. Amen. He laid his life down voluntarily. Paul tells us in Acts chapter 2, as he's preaching at Pentecost, he says, you guys, you killed him, but it's only because of the foreordained knowledge and will of the Lord. He did not. Yes, they were nailing him to the cross, but Jesus went voluntarily to the cross. He became our sacrifice in flesh. One of the early church fathers, his name was Hilary of Poitiers in France. He says this about what happened in the incarnation. He says, he did not lose what he was, but began to be what he was not. He did not cease to possess his own nature, but received what was ours. Guys, if you came expecting Luke 2, come back on Wednesday night. I love Luke 2. My goodness, we're going to light more candles. We're going to have communion. We're going to sing Silent Night. We're going to hold up a candle. We're going to light it. It's going to be beautiful. But what I don't want to lose today is I don't want us to get caught in all the trappings. We have to be aware that the person of Christmas isn't Santa and the elves. The person of Christmas is Jesus born in a manger. Jesus born in a manger. A child born. The scripture teaches this all throughout. I've already read to you John chapter 1 verse 14. Look at Colossians 2:9. Colossians 2:9 tells us this. For in him, Jesus Christ, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells. When he emptied himself, he didn't empty himself of deity. He was fully God. Truly God and truly man. Well, how is that? What is that? Well, listen, do you know that Jesus, just like you and me, was born of a woman? If you didn't know that, you were born of a woman. Just like Jesus was born of a woman. Do you realize that Jesus got tired? you realize that Jesus got exhausted? Do you realize that Jesus, the scripture tells us that he sweat like you and I, except his were drops of blood. He was a carpenter, had a job, just like you and I. He worked. The scripture tells us that he cried. In fact, he wept at the death of his good friend Lazarus. The scripture tells us that he got thirsty. You remember on the cross, when it was before the time, he said, no, I don't want anything to drink. And then when it was done, he said, I thirst. Is there something to drink? He even died, just like you and I will one day. He had all the emotions that you and I experience. See, he limited himself. Another way of saying emptied, he limited himself in his divinity and took on humanity that he might identify with you and me. He stepped into the world to accomplish what you and I could never accomplish. That's a big deal. That's a huge gift. That's a gift that no one else can give you. That no one else can give you. And why did he do that? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 tells us this. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize. Listen, stop right there for a moment. Jesus identifies and he sympathizes with us. That's huge. It says that we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. In 450 AD at the Council of Chalcedon, where the divinity and the humanity of Christ was continually debated, this council came together and they finally, through the scripture, through the prayer of the Holy Spirit, this is what they wrote, that Jesus was truly God and truly man in like essence with the Father in all things as to his divinity, yet in his humanity, like unto us in all things, except sin. He was sinless Son of God. He came so that he might walk the earth for many reasons, to give us an example, to identify, so that he would sympathize. But the ultimate reason is so that he could pay the price that you and I could never pay. This right here, notice in back up in verse 7, notice back up in verse 7, it says that he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, of a servant. You know, we're so enamored with royalty. Do you know one of the you look online and you find all kinds of surveys about different things. I guess you can get a survey to say whatever you want to say, find what you want. But most surveys will tell us that as Americans, when we left the motherland, we still are enamored with the royalty. It's one of the, if you want to like somebody, we love reading about royalty. Do you realize that the royal family or any king around the world, they have people who are there to serve them, meet their needs. Even in our own world, even in our own land, our president, our leaders, they have people around who take care of them, make sure that their needs are taken care of. That's not the king that we serve. Do you know the one who came? The scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus himself said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And how did he serve? By giving his life as a ransom. That ransom means we were in bondage. And he was the penalty. That's how he served. The one in whose image we were created added to himself the name image bearer. He himself. So he could come to his own. That's the heart of the person of Christmas. That's the heart of the person of Christmas. Not a king who says, you bring me fealty, you bring me gifts. It's the one, he came as the gift. That's our Jesus. That's the baby. That's the heart. Notice in it says that he took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being born in the likeness of men. Just as he was true in essence, and being in his divinity, he was true in his essence of manhood. Now, you may be thinking, well, what does that matter? Well, I want you to know, he really died. Like he was doorknob dead on the cross. He was dead. It wasn't as if he went away and then came back. No. He died. Moms and dads in here who have children, you've got babies. Listen, when they handed you, you may have grown kids now, if you can remember back. When they handed that little baby to you, did you ever look at it and think, I wonder what the purpose of my child is going to be about? I wonder what's going to happen. You realize that Mary already knew, holding that baby, that this child born is going to die. That's the person of Christmas. That's the person of Christmas. That's why we celebrate. That's why we feast. This child that was born. Do you realize if he's not born, there's no need for Easter? I say this to us because this is one of those, you remember in the movies, get a hold of yourself. I want this to be like that for just a little bit. Okay? I heard a snort. Enjoy. All the feasting. Enjoy it all. But I need you to catch this. If you run past Jesus, you've run out of bounds. You've run out of bounds. This is Jesus week, not just Christmas week. If this is the person of Christmas, let's talk about the purpose of Christmas for just a moment. Look at verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The purpose is so that one day, catch this, the purpose is so that one day, every tongue, I want to make sure you get this. Every tongue in heaven, on earth, and under earth. The person of Christmas, Jesus Christ, the purpose was so that one day every knee will bow and they'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why this is such a special time of the year. This is the time of the year when, as much as I love the gifts that I get, bows and packages and all those types of things, you're probably sitting there thinking, he talks about liking getting gifts. Yeah, you do too. We all do. All of us love to get gifts. This is the greatest gift. And the reason it's the greatest gift is because it was through this gift that I now have eternal life. It's because of this gift right here that I today have had the ability to bow my knee and say, Jesus Christ, you are Lord. Can I tell you that there are some of you in here today who have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? You've never accepted the free gift of God. You may have sat in church. You may have done all kinds of things in church. You may go, oh, I know about the name of Jesus, but you've never received the gift of Jesus. You realize if I offer you a gift and you don't take it, it's not your gift? Receiving the gift of God. And how do I know that you've received the gift of God? Because you respond by saying, I've received the gift of God. I need to follow after him. And your life begins to look like that. This is the gift that he gives us. Why did God highly exalt the baby born in a manger? Why is it that he was given such a great name? Did you notice that? Therefore God, verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted on him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. Listen, you want to get Kyle shouting and running? Let's sing about the name of Jesus. When we sing about the name of Jesus, there's something in me that just goes crazy. You know why? Because there's no other name like it. There's no other name like it. There's no other name by which men might be saved. There's no other name under which we're healed. Listen, it's not St. Thomas that heals you. It's Jesus that heals you. I'm thankful for St. Thomas. I'm thankful for HCA, TriStar, all the other ones, whoever they are. But it's Jesus that heals us. There's no other name. No other name can save. No other name can heal. No other name can bring reconciliation. It is his name. And what was his name? His name was Jesus. which means the Lord saves. What was his name from back in Isaiah? Emmanuel, God with us. The gift that was given to us in Bethlehem was God with us in flesh. His name is Jesus. He came to save us. I don't know what else you do. I don't know what else you do right there. That's the gift that has come. That's the gift that we have been given. Oh, yeah, and by the way, he is a wonderful counselor. He is a mighty God. He is an everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. I've got a good friend, and when he's preaching right here, he always ends by saying, "What's that baby's name?" And everybody says, "Jesus." That's the person of Christmas. And that's his purpose for coming. Can I tell you this? His name in Romans is Adam. He's delineated as the second Adam. Because the first Adam failed. That's where the problem came in. And when God said, "I promise you, I'm going to send one who's going to crush the head of a snake." He's had many names throughout the Old Testament. But in Romans, they call him the second Adam, Jesus. You know why his name is the second Adam? Because it took a man like the first Adam, flesh and blood, where the problem came in. It took another man, flesh and blood, who could redeem us, who could live perfectly. And in his perfect life, he perfectly crushed the head of the serpent. That's the Jesus we serve. But that's why he came. You know what that's called theologically? Theologically, and I use this for you, and I want to define it because it's very important. I do not want you to lose this. This is called penal substitutionary sacrifice. There was a penalty that had to be paid. The penal system, there was a penalty that had to be paid. And there was one who stepped into my place, who substituted himself because I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. The penal substitutionary sacrifice. He laid his life down. I can't offer you a better gift than that right there. That's it. This is what the person of Christmas came for. This was his purpose. Now, turn over to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. It's in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That'll help you find it. General Electric Power Company, if you need it, I'm right there. That's from being a child, pouring scripture into your children. Pour scripture into your children. Pour scripture into your children. Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, you know what the fullness of time was? It was on a night in Bethlehem. That's the fullness of time. At the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Just like man was under the law, so was Christ, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoptions as sons. Jesus came and perfectly fulfilled all the requirements of the law. That was another gift that he gave us. He fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. And as a result, by bowing our knee, we become heirs, joint heirs with Jesus. The scripture says we become sons and daughters. We get that. That was part of his purpose. Can I tell you the very highest purpose that he came for, first and foremost? It was to reclaim the glory of God. I'd ask you to turn over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. Please turn over to Romans chapter 3. If you don't have your Bibles, you'll see it on the screen. But I want you to see this. I do not want you to miss this. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 23, excuse me, says this. For all have sinned. That would be all of us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? His holiness, his righteousness. It's the sum total of all that he is. It says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. There it is. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How do you get that gift? It's only found in Christ Jesus. In fact, can I tell you, the gift is Christ Jesus. Whom God put forward as a propitiation. That's twice in this same service we've used that word propitiation. Propitiation means this, a worthy sacrifice. It just means a worthy sacrifice. He says, he put forth by the propitiation, by his blood, to be received by faith. That was to show God's righteousness because of his divine forbearance. He had passed over former sins. He didn't wipe them away. He just passed over them until the fullness of time would come. And when did that fullness of time come? When Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Why did he come? To show, it was to show his righteousness at that present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Listen, our God is righteous and holy. You and I all know this. You hear it preached here. You've heard it before. That sin can't enter into the presence of God. So in his mercy, he forbeared the sins of old until the fullness of time when Christ would come. When there would be a worthy sacrifice. One who would live perfectly. You know who that was? The person of Christmas. His name is Jesus. Because there was no one that could accomplish it. So God gave the gift of his son. In fact, you know what the crazy thing is? It blows my mind. Is that this was planned before eternity ever happened. In eternity, it was planned. And God planned that. And not only did he plan it, Jesus said, I'll go. I'll go reclaim your glory. You're going, how do you reclaim God's glory? If God is so holy and righteous, was his glory ever at stake? Oh, no. God is glorious and holy. But I will tell you, it was stolen from you and I. There was no way that we walked in his presence when sin entered the world. And Jesus came. He came. And he laid his life down. The gift came. He lived. He grew in wisdom and stature. He laid his life down, perfectly lived, laid his life down, willingly gave it, so that we then could be justified by a just God. Why? Because he's just, that sin had to be paid for. All of our sin had to be paid for. And today he's brought you here and said, I have a gift for you if you'll just bow your knee to me. If you'll just come, just surrender your life. All the things you've been putting, you know, all the things that you think are great gifts, listen, I want you to know, they're all failing you. And you know what the wild thing is that you and I both know they're failing us. And he says, but I have a gift of a child. His name is Jesus. He's the present for you. It is an expensive gift. Men in this room, I don't care how much you spend, you'll never spend as much as God the Father when he sacrificed his son. Laid his life down. You know what it cost him? The lifeblood. But it's by that lifeblood that you and I receive redemption. This is why he is just and the justifier. The word justified means makes us just as if I'd never sinned. His penalty has been paid, and now my penalty has been paid, and now he justifies. Jesus came. Listen, this Jesus that we lit a candle about today, we didn't light it for Jesus. It represents love. Listen, the scripture tells us there is no greater love than this than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Did you realize that Jesus laid his life down for you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ? He laid his life down. That's how you became a follower of Jesus Christ, because the gift died. The Holy Spirit showed you the gift, opened your eyes, and gave you salvation. And how do I know that? Because you responded to him in faith. Today, you're like going, I was thinking about a baby and swaddling clothes. That's what I was expecting today. Well, I want to tell you, you're getting him. You're getting him. Only he's grown today in the passage. He's grown. He's died. He's been buried. He's rose again. And he's ascended. And today, his Holy Spirit stands to offer you the gift that he's offered to people for hundreds of years. And if the Lord God chooses to tarry, we'll continue to offer for the next hundreds of years. The person of Christmas laid his life down. The person of Christmas became sin so that we might have a relationship. The scripture tells us in Isaiah that it is by his wounds that we are healed. I haven't thought about it a whole lot until recently. Did you realize that the stripes that he was beat, the stripes on his back, the thorns on his head, were gifts to you and I? He didn't like offer them to us, but we see them as gifts because it's by his death that we have life. He said, God, I'll go reclaim that glory. I'll make a way. So what do I do with this? Kyle, what do I do with this? If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I would ask you today, would you respond to the gift that's being offered today? Here's how I'd love to know that. I'm going to be out the back door and to the left. I'd love to talk with you. Love to pray with you. Maybe we can get coffee. We can talk more about it. I know that there are mamas and daddies in here praying for kids. I know that there are husbands and wives praying for spouses right now. You keep praying that the Lord will continue to offer that gift. Well, what about me, Kyle? I'm a follower of Jesus. What does this do for me? Can I ask you to look at verse 5 again? Chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5 says this. This is written to us. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Do you know if you're a follower of Christ, this passage calls us to empty ourselves in humility just as Jesus did. This passage calls us, if Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve, this calls us to humbly serve our brothers and sisters, our families. Can I raise your head for just a moment, wave a flag? There may be someone in your sphere of influence. They have nowhere to go and nowhere to turn right now. Is the Lord calling you to empty yourself and say, hey, come, I got you. Maybe there's someone you know, they don't have anywhere to go over the next couple of celebration days. Invite them into your celebration. It may end up being that you ask somebody about that, and they say, no, I'm just going to be here. Then you take some celebration to them. Make a plate. Re-gift something. The Lord knows you got them. Go buy something. I take something and say, listen, I'm here. Today, I stand and wave to you, the person of Christmas, and I point to you his purpose, and he's inviting you to receive him and join in. Father, I love you, and I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for this family, and I want to ask right now, Holy Spirit, would you save people today? Holy Spirit, would you call us as your children to be willing to empty ourselves, to be servants, to step into someone else's situation? I'm thankful, Jesus, that you stepped into this world and that you took care of my problem, my greatest problem, the idea that I'm separated. Thank you that because of your death, your burial, your resurrection, I now have life. Jesus, we magnify you today. And it's in your name we ask these things. Amen. I would ask that you stand around the